Brother Mark, thank you again for sharing the background of these songs that we sing, the hymns. You know, it's sad that one of the things that Brother Mark brought out, that so many people feel the way that those people that were described in the background of this song. They think that God doesn't live, or they think that, you know, it's not important. And so he wrote the song in response to those that, you know, felt like that it was nothing but a story. But we know better. We are here today. He lives within our hearts. The song cannot be more accurate. And we know that we serve and worship and praise our risen Savior. We are here today to worship Him because He does live. What would be the use if it were not true? But we know it's true. God has given us a gift of faith. But you know, as you think about how life can sometimes distract us, you think about this beautiful day. We're here to worship God, and we're thankful for this beautiful day. And many others are out enjoying this beautiful day too. Maybe they just have family plans and activities, and that's fine. But is God even crossing their mind? Is the thought of the Lord in their hearts at all? Let's pray that it is. You see, we should be joyful. God has given us this beautiful day, and we have so much to be thankful about. Just the thought of Jesus Christ being resurrected should give us joy, great joy. And we don't have to understand everything there is to know about our life, what transpires in our life, but we can recognize that God has given us faith. And no matter what age we are, we share a single truth. Every day that we've lived is because God has given it to us. So we share that experience from the youngest here to the oldest there. God is faithful to His people. We have been given life. And thankfully, we have been given faith to worship Him this day. But because we don't always understand things, I guess the feeling the Lord placed on my heart this week, and it was pretty heavy, was that we need to be trusting Him. And we need to be looking for those things that reinforce our faith, that make us joyful. So what we don't understand, God does. And I find that in Isaiah, in chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. This verse gives me great comfort. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm glad that God is so far above us, that He is not encumbered by any of the frailties that we are. He is the Lord. He is God. And I'm glad that He's so much stronger than I am, and so much higher than I am, and so much holier and pure. That gives me comfort and joy, because that's who I worship. Not a person who is susceptible to the same shortcomings and inabilities that I am. I'm comforted knowing that He thinks differently. Everything about God is holy. There is nothing that is not. So the sinful ways of this world cannot be associated with Him. But you know, as we, over the last two messages, as we discussed, we are His creation. And yes, we are sinners. And we can't ascend to the level that God is. But through Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed. And we have hope that one day we will dwell with God on high in heaven. And we will see His holiness in full. It won't see it here in this earth, but we will see it in full one day. This is not our home, folks. We can never forget that. And because He lives, we have hope for that eternal home where we will dwell with the Lord forever. His ways are higher than our ways. And we don't understand this world, but you know, we can look around and see the beauty of this world, can't we? There's a lot of ugliness if we look for it. We're going to encounter it as part of our lives. But you know, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world to help expose some of that darkness, and in exposing it, to make it go away to some degree. We are overcomers because Christ Jesus lives. But there's other things that we can look around and see God's handiwork. It's in all creation. It's in this beautiful day that we have been given today. And I thought about that all week. You know, we kind of had a very historic thing that occurred this week. We sent people further up into space than have ever traveled in history. The Artemis II space project, it went to the other side of the moon, a further distance than we had ever traveled, even back in the 70s. And they took pictures of the what's called the dark side of the moon. It had never been seen by people. And then they came safely back to Earth. And you know, I started thinking about the astronauts and what they see. And we've seen pictures before of the Earth from space. And we see the stars, and I started thinking about most of us, not everybody, but most of us are old enough to remember back the way it was when we were younger. We didn't have all the light pollution that we have now, and how vibrant and the stars, how gloriously they, you know, the sky looked when you looked up there. When you saw God's creation, it humbled us. And I kind of think the astronauts were that way, so I started looking into it. What if you could see in person what they saw? So I want to share some quotes with you from astronauts that went into space as we start thinking about God. And we start thinking about our place in the universe. And I pray that this will give you some hope and you will find this uplifting. Victor Glover is a pilot who just piloted this Artemis space mission. And the man is a Christian, and he said the following to the Christian Chronicle 2 years ago. He's also a Air Force pilot, and he said, "My career is fed by my faith. Anytime I do something that's pretty risky, I pray. Before I fly, every time I fly. Definitely when you go sit on top of a rocket ship, I think I'd be praying too." But he added, "In the military, there's a saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. There aren't any on top of rockets either. And I don't imagine that there are. If you were about to blast off into space, you know, it's funny how when we get sick or when we're hurting, then we turn to God. When we feel fragile, we start thinking about God, don't we? Well, I think the astronauts do." Listen to a couple more quotes. James Irwin was a lunar module pilot for Apollo 11. And this is important. He became, after his space missions, he became a devout Christian after his moonwalk. "I walked on the moon and I saw God. I saw God in the face of the universe." In the face of the universe. You know, when we really start looking, all those fallacies of, oh, this all is just a big accident goes away. No, when we start looking, we see the hand of the Creator in His creation. And we see it in each of us too. Buzz Aldrin, we all should be, that name should sound familiar. Neil Armstrong walked first, Buzz Aldrin walked second on the moon. He's in his 90s now. And he said the following, "I took communion on the moon. It was a very personal moment, and it was a way for me to express my gratitude to God for the opportunity to be there." He wasn't supposed to do that, but he did it anyway. Can you imagine being on the surface of the moon and his thoughts turned to the Lord and he took communion? That faith that he expressed as a testimony, not only to his faith, but it should be encouragement to us. When these men and women too sees the handiworks of God, they start declaring his greatness. Jeff Williams, another astronaut, a veteran astronaut with multiple space flights, said, "I've had the opportunity to look at the Earth from space. It's a very humbling experience. It really reinforces your belief in a Creator. And I found that prayer is a very powerful thing, even in space. You know, the Word tells us there's nowhere we can go where the eye of the Lord is not upon us. There's nowhere we can go where God cannot hear our prayers, even in space. There's two more quotes I want to share. Well, really one more, but we had to separate into two. And we have an image that goes along with this quote. This picture was taken from the astronaut. I forgot her name. I think it's... I'll think of it in a moment. But she was in this Artemis II project. And there's a picture, and make sure it's there. That shows this woman, and that's her hair, because they're floating inside this space capsule with no gravity. So their hair and things are floating around, and they're viewing the Earth. And that picture was taken with an iPhone. Look at the marvel of technology that we have at our disposal. But it pales in comparison to the greatness, to the wonderful creation that God has made. And they're in awe of it. And she's taking a picture of it. Eugene Cernan said he was the last man to walk on the moon. And he said the following, I picked this quote because I feel like it applies to her too. She's looking at Earth. All the crew member inside that space capsule are looking at Earth. Well, Eugene Cernan had done the same thing. He was the last man to walk on the moon. And he said, you look at Earth from up there and you realize how insignificant we are. But at the same time, you realize how incredibly special it is. It's a beautiful, fragile blue marble hanging in the blackness of space. It's hard to describe the feeling, but it's a feeling of awe and wonder, and a sense of being part of something much larger than yourself. It makes you think about your Creator. And there we are, folks, back again to our Creator. The same Creator that made us, that gave us life. Every day that we've enjoyed till now, that Creator has allowed us. That same Creator that redeemed us through the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who we are here to worship this day. We should be worshiping in joy, but we should be humbled at the same time. You know, He's not the only person to ever have and express that feeling or that sentiment, how insignificant we are, that we're just a little bitty tiny speck. All of these thoughts and things that these astronauts have expressed, David expressed them too. If we turn to Psalms, and I read it already, but kind of out of place, but now I'm going to read it again. Maybe they'll have a little more bearing this time. Psalms 8, 1 through 4. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. You know, sometimes we let our thoughts lead us down different pathways, especially our emotions. And I've said this many times, folks, our emotions are needed. They're part of us. But sometimes when all we do is allow ourselves to be led by our emotions, we can let our emotions lead us astray. You see, we are not insignificant. We might feel insignificant compared to the universe, but that's not true. And all we have to do is turn to God's Word to clear up this tendency for our emotions to lead us astray. You are significant. God knows you. And we can never forget, as we are told in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We just celebrated Easter. He died for us on that terrible cross, but yet He didn't stay in that tomb. He rose again. part of that, things that we don't understand, as we read in Isaiah, God's ways are higher than our ways. But by faith we believe it, and we live for it. Because He lives, we live, and we worship Him. Because we know that He holds us in our hands. You see, folks, He died for us, and this answers David's question. He is mindful of us. And that makes Him a very personal Creator, a very personal God that we worship and that we love. And that we've come today to express our gratitude to Him in prayer and to learn more about Him through His Word, because we love Him. Last Sunday, I shared the Scriptures with you. Matter of fact, similar Scriptures for a couple of Sundays. We love God because He first loved us. You see, He is mindful of us. He tells us that in the Old Testament too. Another Scripture that we recently shared. I hope it will have a greater meaning to you now. Isaiah 43. "But know this, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." And that applies to His children, folks, to each believer. You can make these words very personal. Put your name in this sentence, because that's who this applies to. He knew you before the foundation of the world. And He loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you. You are significant. You know you belong to God, and you know, knowing and thinking about belonging to God, and then taking the next step, believing that God is with us, that's a very significant thing. And it should give us confidence. That's what Isaiah 43 does to me. I have fear not. You're not forgotten. I'm mindful of you. Fear not. Your sins will not overcome you, because I have redeemed you. Fear not, because I am with you. I know you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And the New Testament tells us, Jesus said that there is nothing, no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. We are His. We are securely His. Even when we're... if we're fortunate enough to be an astronaut up in space, we are seen by God. He is mindful of us, and we belong to Him. And folks, those thoughts, those realizations, you think about where we are right now in our calendar year, just having celebrated Easter and Jesus rising from the grave. We are victorious through Christ. It should give us confidence. We should be living each day with joy in our hearts. And 2 Timothy tells us this. Paul, through Timothy, was telling the early believers, and for Timothy to let them know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God is mindful of us, and we should be strengthened and encouraged, knowing that God gives us peace. Knowing that God is with us should give us peace. And I believe that's a peace that David talked about in the 23rd Psalm. Because think about the words that he wrote. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He didn't fear that evil would overcome him. David knew that he was made perfect through God. He wasn't afraid of the people around him. He had been in battle all his life, and he knew that God had protected him. Folks, we have seen miracles in our lives too. If we think back and we're honest about it, there are miracles that we have been the recipients of. And we all have one, you know, I've talked about a couple universal things. We've all had these days that we've been given. We share that universal experience. Well, we share faith in Jesus Christ. And we all share redemption through Jesus Christ. You see, we need to be mindful of those things. And just like David, we shouldn't be afraid of this life either. Rather, we should be rejoicing and be joyful. And we should have comfort. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Well, we have God's rod and staff here too. Sometimes we feel the rod of correction in our lives, just like a child corrects, a parent corrects his child. But we have this staff that we can lean on, and I'll call it His Word. You see, He's with us. He guides us. He corrects us. He provides for us. You are significant, and He is with you. David knew that because God was with him, he could face most anything, and he did. David overcame some very just unbelievable odds in his life because God directed him, and He directs us too. Brother Terry, in his prayer, gave thanks for something that a few years ago would have just been hard to believe. We have two of our members here that have had major open heart surgery at advanced years in their life. They weren't in their 50s or 60s when they had their surgeries. They were up older. And yet still they're recovered and they're here. Something to be thankful for. You see, we can start looking around and see all kinds of miracles taking place. We need to be praising God for it. And when we look at our lives, we can see miracles have happened to us too. Just the fact that you have faith in your heart is a miracle. And it happens because God gave it to you. And because God knows you and He's mindful of you. As we think about God being with us, it should give us confidence. It gave David confidence. The astronauts saw the creation of God, and it gave them awe and wonder, and they marveled at His creation. And they thought about the Creator. Well, God created us too. And He says that I am with you, that God is with us. In Matthew, the opening story of Jesus being born, these two verses. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. God is with us, folks. And if you take that text, and we could make this a sermon by itself, but the text is quoting what was prophesied many hundreds of years prior. Because God knows all things, and all things are in His hands. And what He says and decrees will come to pass. Jesus coming to this earth came to pass because it was His will. God knows us is what His Word tells us. He is mindful of us. So no matter where we are in our lives or what our situations may be, we should have comfort and joy like David did, knowing that God is with us. Read with me first the Gospel of John. This will be the longest reading that we have this morning. But it should reemphasize this. It should reemphasize your faith and about where you are and who you are. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And if you stop right there, what did those astronauts see? They saw everything God made. They saw the beauty of the universe. Looking down at earth, they saw His creation that He set aside for His children. Isaiah tells us that the Lord made the earth and He made it to be inhabited. He made it specifically for people. And He made it for His children, for you and I. God is always with us. And here we're talking about Jesus coming to earth. The one who was there in the beginning, who humbled Himself to become a servant, to come and redeem us from our sins. And now continuing on in verse 4, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, just like the astronauts saw it. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, and this includes you folks, make this very personal because you have faith. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, folks, there's a distinction here. It talks about how beautiful this is that Jesus came to earth. But the world didn't know Him. There's a lot of people out here that don't know Him. We need to be praying for Him, but you do know Him. And He is mindful of you. You do. You are different. God, place that in your heart. I can tell you, there's more people out there that don't know God than do. You have been set aside, and you need to be thankful. Listen to what we read in John's account in the Gospel of John chapter 10. Again, I want to emphasize this distinction for just a moment. "Now it was a feast of the dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded Him and said to Him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.'" Well, these leaders of Israel should not have been in doubt, folks, but they didn't know Him. And Jesus tells them, "I told you and you do not believe. But again, I want to emphasize, you believe. But you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Just like that, the creation that the astronauts saw, it bears witness to God. Jesus performed all these miracles. That was a witness to what He was and who He was. But then verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Here we are after Easter and after the resurrection, and we are believing God and we are following Him because He gave you faith. You see, you have been set aside. You are different from the rest of the world. God knows you. God loves you, and He is mindful of you. And so when you are given a beautiful day like today, it should fill us with peace and joy in our hearts to turn around and say, "Thank you, God. You're mindful of even me when I feel so insignificant and I feel like that little speck and I feel like I don't matter," because it's not true. You see, you were part of creation's plan. Before the foundation of the world, He knew you, and He knew you, and He created you, and He gave you faith, and He made you to do good works here on this earth. And one of those good works, as I've mentioned this so many times, is sharing our faith and declaring God's greatness and His glory. And like those astronauts are quoted of saying, you see the beauty of creation, and then it makes you think about the Creator who created all things. And He created me and you. And we need to be thinking about God each and every day of our life. We need to have that confidence. I'm thinking about Him. I know Him. He's with me. So whatever I'm facing, I can face it because I know that my Redeemer lives and that He walks with me and He talks with me along the way. He lives. Jesus said the following in the Gospel of John chapter 14. And He's about to be crucified, and He's telling the disciples, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you." You see, God is with us in every part of our life. And we need to take that faith, and we need to be joyful with it, and we need to have not the spirit of fear like Paul wrote in Timothy. But no, we have a sound mind, and we need to see all these signs, and that should give us confidence and give us joy. And we should be overcomers in this world, not living a depleted life that we don't want to have seen by others. Our faith should be strong and vibrant and shining like this glorious sunshine is today. Because He lives within our hearts, folks. And He is with us each and every day. Now I want you to think of the following. And I've tied this in with Easter. But I want you to tie it into your life. The things you have seen. Okay? Just like those astronauts. Again, this was a historic event, what they did. And there's more to come, God, the Lord willing. But they saw things that we see through pictures. They saw it in person. And they are declaring the greatness of the Creator, of God. Now listen to what, again, in the Gospel of John, what Jesus says. He's already been crucified and He's resurrected. And I want you to think about this passage in your relationship with Jesus Christ. After 8 days, His disciples were again inside. They were in the upper room. And Thomas with them. See, they had met before and Thomas was not with them. But this time he was. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you," and stop right there. You see, there are no encumbrances to God. He doesn't have to, you don't have to unlock a door to let Him in. No, God can unlock any door. And we want to pray for the people here in our community. Well, He can unlock those stony hearts too. And we need to pray for that. And He's just appeared. Because He's God. He's right there in the middle with them. And He says, "Peace to you." How many times have we said in the Bible, "Do not be afraid"? Peace to you means do not be afraid. Then He said to Thomas. You see, this gets personal here. He is addressing Thomas personally. And folks, He talks to us personally too because of the Spirit that is within us. He talks to you. Do you listen? Or do you let your emotions take you astray and you tune it out? Now, Sister Dale shared something kind of sweet with me this morning. She said, "Brother Wade, I'm not tuning you out," because she's doing this with her hearing aid. She can't hear. Most of the time, it's like a little kid stops her ears and they don't want to hear it. But no, we can't tune God out, folks. We need to be listening. Are you listening? Thomas, put your place. Put yourself in the place of Thomas. I know I preached on Thomas. It's been 2 years ago now. It's such a sweet story. Thomas, put your name there. Then He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at My hands. The nail prints in My hands. Put your finger in there, Thomas. You haven't been believing Me. Put your fingers here, Thomas. And reach your hand here. And put it in My side where that Roman spear pierced My side. Put it here, Thomas. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." When you see God's glory all around you, when we walk outside and we feel the sunshine on our faces, Brother Terry and I went fishing yesterday. First time I've been fishing all year. It was cold in the morning and then it got hot. I felt so alive. I'm thankful that He invited me to go. It's these little things in life that you enjoy and makes you feel so special sometimes. To be out in God's creation, when we see it all around us, shouldn't we be believing? Shouldn't we understand that, yeah, God knows me. He's mindful of me. Don't be unbelieving when the evidence is staring you right in the face. And He's telling Thomas, believe, Thomas. Thomas had a hard time. He was known as Doubting Thomas. But how could he refute the evidence? He saw Jesus. He put His hands in Jesus. He wasn't a ghost or a spirit. He was resurrected from the dead. And how did Thomas answer? He said, "My Lord and my God." You see, he knew. Then he knew. All doubt was removed. He knew. You know, sometimes when you look back in your life and you think about some incredible things that may have happened to you, you should know that God is with you and He has blessed you and given you every day that you've ever had. But then Jesus says something else, and I want you to put your name in the place of Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's not a person sitting here. There's not a person alive on this earth who have seen Jesus Christ in the flesh here. But we believe. So we are more blessed than Thomas by these words because we believe through the faith that God has given us. It is the faith that we have in our hearts that allows us to believe. Thomas's faith was weak, and he was an apostle. We can look around and see the evidence of God all around us. We have faith in our hearts, and we can believe. John's Gospel goes on to say the rest that we read in verse 30. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You have life and you are believing, folks. Are you living it to the fullest that you should be living it through Christ? Shouldn't it be the most important thing in your life? Let me read this verse again. I think it carries more significance than what we sometimes ascribe to it. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. That applies to both prior to his crucifixion and after his crucifixion when he was resurrected. All of them couldn't be written down and recorded. But they saw them. But these are written that you may believe. For the future generations to come, that you may believe. That God's children may believe. We don't have to see. We feel Jesus. We feel the Holy Spirit within us. We don't see Him physically embodied in front of us. But we believe on Him. And we are more blessed even than Thomas was because of that faith. All of these things were done and recorded and written that you may believe and have life in His name. Folks, that's the whole purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to glorify and to praise God and to enable His children to believe in Jesus Christ. And through that gift of faith that we have been given, we know that we have life eternal. That's the purpose of the gospel. Now, are you sharing that gospel? I hope you are. Corinthians, and I know it's time to close here, but I just want to share a couple more verses with you. Because you think about your life and you think about the people that are walking around us today with other things that seem to be more important to them than worshiping the Lord. And then you think about your faith. Corinthians 1:18 tells us, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Yes, God's ways are higher than our ways, as it said in Isaiah. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe in Him." Yes, for the unbeliever to believe in Jesus Christ is foolishness. But to those who have faith, it is salvation through faith in His name. God saved you before the foundation of the world. He knew you and He is mindful of you, of every day that He gives you in every aspect of your life. And folks, that should give you joy in your hearts. He is with you all the time. And just in case, you know, Easter is a very emotional time for some people. Our faith is high and sometimes it's low. We get washed with unworthiness. We think we don't understand. Sometimes we're jubilant and we're joyful. But I just want to give you some joy and some reassurance with the following scripture. John chapter 5. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And that requires effort on your part. And you put forth that effort if you love God. "And His commandments are not burdensome, But we are told to live differently from the rest of the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You see, folks, you pretend you're talking to a child. You can do it. You can do it. But we have to try. And this is a victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith, and that was given to you by God. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I've used that phrase now a few times. You are an overcomer because of Christ Jesus. Because he lives, as we sang. Because he walks with you. Because you need him every hour. We are overcomers in this life, and we will be joyful in the next life. In closing, I want to read the following, and these are the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, after the resurrection. You see, we are victorious, and we should be living a life of victory. He's mindful of you, and he has empowered us to do it. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says the following, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, folks, God is mindful of you, and he is with us always. We can walk in the same confidence that David did. And we don't have to be like Doubting Thomas, where we have to physically hold it and to believe it and see it. By faith, you are saved. And that is a gift of God, not of yourself. Thank the Lord for his amazing grace. Thank the Lord for the beauty of creation that we are here to enjoy this day. Thank God for the faith in your heart that brought you here to praise him. And as you go home, I pray that you praise him all the more. And may he give you joy for this day and however many days that you have left. Brother Mark.